good evening, morning, day, everyone. This is Matt with Matt's Holiday Movie Madness. I am joined by my good friend again. I like to have good friends on here of many years, Mr. Dave Tooney.
Hello.
Hey, Dave. How are you this fine evening?
Are you doing a more of a ramp up to the intro, or was I supposed to interject at this point?
You can interject whenever you want. Theoretically, this will probably just be in the intro because I'm not great at editing. I am learning.
Your people aren't going to listen to this 3 or 4 times?
You are looking at my people, and hey, 3 or 4 people. Times? That's a lot of times.
I mean, I wouldn't do that.
because of the content or because of the time involved?
Yeah, probably a little bit of both.
I like that Dave and I are both very casual dressed right now. This is our day is over. We're relaxing.
It's so hot in L.A.
Ditto in Florida.
I'm calling you from L.A. And you're calling from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And is it just like now in L.A. we are ramping up to the hot part of the year?
Yeah.
And like late August, all of September, half of October are brutally hot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting there now. So I just had an audition, and now I was just in the car for like a while, and it's so hot. And so now I'm just chilled out in a t-shirt.
I love it. And a Brewers t-shirt because
– And a Brewers t-shirt.
Come on.
Because we got to meet in the middle, buddy.
We got
in Florida. I'm in L.A. We got to meet in the middle.
And that's a good segue to say where we know each other, which is from our years living in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. where we lived together, not together, but in the same city for, well, I was there almost 10 years, nine and a half.
Yep. And I was there about 12 years.
So, wow, we overlapped a long time.
And we went, where did you go to college again?
I went to Iowa State.
You went to Iowa State, gigantic
yes.
college.
Pretty big, yeah.
And I went to University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
Not as huge, but big enough.
Big enough. Commuter college at the time, still is, but
yeah,
still a big school. I helped you move out of your apartment.
Oh my gosh, you did. I should still be apologizing to you for that.
No way.
Oh, man.
I've always wanted to go into that apartment building.
Me too. I'm sure for different reasons.
Oakland Avenue.
Oh my gosh. That was the best. I loved living there. That was the best place.
Yeah, you were in the thick of the East Side. It was great.
It was. Yeah, I was close to everything. I could walk to almost all my favorite things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except
if you're a local Milwaukeean, Oakland Avenue, it's great. It's a big thoroughfare. It's a busy street. But it gets you to the East Side. It gets you to North Avenue, which was at the time popular. Still is, but more so than. Easy access to Brady Street.
Oh, my gosh. And the beach.
Quick access to the beach.
Yeah.
Get downtown.
A couple minutes to downtown. Right by, Pizza Man used to be there. Oh, man. I miss Pizza Man.
Yeah. Pizza Man was great. Connect us further to Wisconsin.
Yes.
I was hanging out last night. Not last night. On Saturday night, I hung out with some friends, and they live a little bit further out in the hills, mm-hmm. in the valley. And I haven't experienced this like this since I lived in Wisconsin. I have so many mosquito bites on my ankles. It's like I don't remember this ever happening. But
I love it.
I could barely sleep last night.
Really, that many?
So bad.
That's ridiculous.
I have so many. I wish I could show you how many are on my ankles. It looks like I have the measles or something. It's wild.
Are you sure
you
don't have the measles?
And uncomfortable.
You don't have the measles, right?
No, but I mean, if I did, what do you care? You're in Florida.
They could spread here. There's planes every day going from Florida to California carrying the measles. Fact. John Oliver is doing a special about it next week.
Oh, great. I can't wait to watch.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
Very excited. Anyways, so I got a lot of mosquito bites. So you might see me scratching. I wish this was on YouTube or something. Everyone could see what the deal is.
Do you wish it was on YouTube? I don't know if you wish that.
I feel too casual for this to be on YouTube.
I think you're not casual enough for YouTube.
Okay, so question. I know we're going to get into it a little bit.
Yeah.
So how many podcasts of this podcast series that you're doing have you recorded up until this point?
This will be my fourth recording.
Your this fourth recording. Fourth. Yeah. Now, I don't want to give it away. You maybe will release this one before those, maybe after.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say, I don't want to tell you, but I'm going to ask you right now, who are your other guests?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Well, I already told you before we started recording that Michael Kauth
was a guest. Yes, our good friend from Milwaukee.
Our other good friend. Mm-hmm. And then with my best pal, Adam, who I know you've met throughout the years.
Okay.
My buddy from Harlan, from my hometown in Iowa.
And he lives in Iowa now?
He's in New York. He's north of the city. He used to live in he's lived in a few places in New York City, and then him and his wife moved out of the city. He still works in the city, but they live in a little town called
okay.
I probably shouldn't call that out on the recording, but yeah, he lives he's there.
Okay.
And then my lovely wife and I did one as well. So you will be
that's great.
Number 4. Yeah, Jessica and I did Christmas Vacation. We figured that was a good one to start off with, and her and I watched that. We always watch that one every year, and it
great.
Still continues to make us laugh.
Absolutely.
Well, it didn't make me laugh for a lot of years because I'd watched it so much. Like, it was my go-to movie for a long time. And then it was like, okay, I'm done with this for years. And then her and I started watching it again, and I was like, this is really – then it became even more funny to me, I think,
because I
looked at it with fresh eyes. Yeah.
Oh, that's the best.
There's a few we watch that I see now with new eyes that just destroy me. Like Elf, I hadn't watched for a long time, and she's a big fan of that one, so
yep. That
really makes me laugh. But anyway, yeah. So you're in good company, I would say.
I'm in great company. This is elite company, is what I would say.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you now. You can only go downhill from here. So,
and I plan sorry. To.
In a hurry.
I'll be jumping downhill. Well, I get, man, okay. Well, you and I, we know we can talk for a really long time. So,
absolutely.
If we,
and we're good. This is going to be a 4-hour podcast.
I want to. You know what? I don't even care. Let's keep it 4. I'll edit it down to 3.9, and we'll go from there. So
great.
For those of you just joining us, for those of you who I've just edited out of the podcast, Dave and I are going to be talking about the movie, Invasion USA, which I want to tell you just a little bit. When I asked Dave to do this podcast, he said, yes, I'll do it without a hesitation, which was great.
I said yes to the podcast.
He did. He said yes to the podcast. Oh yes, this is where we were. And then sheepishly asked, can we do Invasion USA? And I said, I don't know what movie that is. And then I took a wild guess that it was an action movie.
Yeah.
Wild guess. And I said, is this like a Christmas movie, like Die Hard is a Christmas movie? And then he said, equally as sheepishly, yes. And I said, for you, yes, we will do it. So
it is like that in that it's a Christmas movie, but not in a way that, like, people watch Die Hard and be like, it's a Christmas movie. And
right.
then they watch it around Christmas and they argue that it's a Christmas movie.
Right.
No one is doing that with Invasion USA.
No, they're not.
It technically, I would say it is a Christmas movie, but no one is like, no one's watching it.
No. No one's trying to ironically watch it as a Christmas movie.
No.
Earnestly watching it as a Christmas movie. Or I would doubt it's even included in most Christmas movie lists.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I'm guessing it's not, which means this is so meta. it's the most. In case you don't know, because you probably don't, Invasion USA was an action movie starring Chuck Norris made in 1985. Here's a couple of fun facts, Dave. You may not know about this movie. Budget, $12 million. $12 million for this
million.
Movie. Box office?
Absolutely.
Take a guess. What do you think the box office was? I will tell you, it did make money. It did make money.
It did. It like debuted at like number one.
It debuted at number one. But I think you'll be surprised at how little it made in the box office.
I'm just going to take a guess here, and I'm going to say $8 million.
No, it made money. Budget was 12. It did 17. $17 million at the box office.
Oh, I was thinking opening weekend.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, I don't have the stats for that.
But it made $17 million.
It made 17. Yeah. But you're okay. Right. That is a better guess. 17. Yeah. Right now, a $17 million opening weekend for a movie, flop.
Yeah.
Like right now?
Yeah.
Failure.
Depending. Complete. Yeah. If it's a big budget movie, and this is like a bigger movie, they spent a little bit more on this movie, and it was, it did all right. I mean,
yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that it made money, I think says a lot considering the film. And as I was looking back at this too, there were only maybe a handful of movies that were released that weekend. I forgot how few movies were released back then. When we were kids, there was like, you went to the theater, there was like maybe two or three options.
Yeah.
That was it. You picked, you know, it's either I'm going to go see, you know, Howard the Duck or Short Circuit. Those are my two options,
yeah.
You know, which those are, I mean, that's Sophie's Choice right there. What do you,
yeah,
I don't know, both?
Right. You yes, win
please.
Both ways.
Yes, please. So a screenplay by James Brunner and Chuck Norris, screenplay.
Uh-huh.
But here's funny, story by Aaron Norris and James Brunner. So,
yeah.
So maybe the Norris brothers falling out. James Brunner is their go-between.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I'm making up a ridiculous backstory to this, but it is kind of interesting that I'm going to guess they're brothers.
I'm going to say
it would be a weird coincidence.
My pitch is that that James Brunner is the brains behind all this.
That would make sense.
Chuck Norris, yes, did get credit with writing the screenplay, but in my mind, it's mainly James Brunner.
He just did everything.
Because Chuck Norris is like, I can get this made, so let's have me attached to this, and I want a screenwriting credit.
Right.
That's my pitch. He could have written the whole thing. I have no idea, but that's what I think.
I like that. No, that makes a lot of sense. Story by Aaron. So, and then Aaron Norris was like, hey, what if my brother... what if my brother takes down terrorists trying to invade the U.S.? And James Brunner says yes. And Chuck says, hey, what are you talking to my brother about? Oh, nothing. And then they write a screenplay.
I feel like they should make a movie about the making of Invasion USA. This was great.
I'll tell you, I read about, I've been kind of going down a rabbit hole here reading about Canon Films, the production company who made this thing. And I didn't realize this is the same company who made Breakin', Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, all the Missing in Action films starring Chuck Norris. They made like over 2,000 movies in their thing. They were all about low-budget movies. So for them, this was a huge budget film.
It's a big budget film. They are. Did you ever see Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah, I've seen. Perfect. Yeah, Breaking In, Breaking Two. Yeah,
but Electric. No. I'm so sorry. There's a documentary called Electric Boogaloo.
Yes, I read about that. I have not seen it. Please enlighten me.
You gotta watch it. It's really great. It tells a story about the Canon films.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely there. They've turned on a ton of movies. I would say their bread and butter at their height was these kind of action movies.
Yeah.
Masters of the Universe, Cobra,
yeah,
Death Wish, right? It's great. Some of the movies that like for me because I and same as you grew up in the 80s, like
yeah,
I really liked those movies and
yeah, me too.
I thought they were so fun and so I have like a special place in my heart for these movies.
Yeah,
even though you look back at them and they're in general. Not the greatest of movies, but because they're tied and because they are tied to my youth, I find them fascinating.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. I think, yeah, definitely. Especially like you mentioned Cobra, that one too hits. It has a really dark feel to it, but definitely that same. All these Canon movies, though, as I'm reading through the list, I'm like, yeah, I see how these are all connected. Like they have that same kind of grittiness. Super
they're violent. They're violent.
Very violent. And they are in it. to, like, they are 100%. There's no tongue in cheek in any of these movies at all. There's no levity, at least in like, there really isn't. They go for it.
Yeah, they don't know how to. I don't think that they knew how to do like comedy all that well. Clearly,
no. Right.
They don't know how to tie. They don't know how to do it, or they don't know how to soft pedal it like a lot of the bigger, you know, like top tier action movies right. were able to do. Or like a Terminator 2 or something like that, which is like also funny moments and stuff.
Yeah.
But these movies are, they're pretty, for the time, brutal. I mean, that was also a time when these action movies were coming up big with like Cobra and, you know, Stallone and Schwarzenegger mm-hmm. and Van Damme and Seagal. Like it was action hero central in the 80s and early 90s. And I feel like these went right along with them, but they did it. they did it in sometimes too brutal of ways.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, especially when you look, I mean, just in seeing this one, and if I can just, again, compare Cobra, like the violence and just the dark sort of depravity of it is just yeah. incredible. This, and we'll get to it more, but this movie, in a few times, I was shocked at what was occurring on the screen.
Me too.
And how this,
me too.
And how this, you know, you think about like, okay, Rambo was like at the time, I'm sure you remember there was so much press mm-hmm. about the most violent movie that's ever come out, and people going crazy. Don't, you know, if you watch this movie, you're going to go to a bad, you know, it's like the worst thing possible.
Yeah.
But honestly, this seems worse than Rambo.
I think one of the reasons it seems worse than Rambo
content.
Is because, and maybe you read this, but they ended up having to they ended up cutting out a lot of the backstory.
Oh, I did not read about that. Please tell me.
They ended up, I don't have much more to tell you than that.
Oh, okay.
But they ended up cutting out, these two guys,
Gollum and
the Cannon Group.
Yeah.
Group.
Yeah. What are Gollum their names? And the other guy.
I can't think of their names right now. Anyways, it doesn't matter. They're like
Golan Globus.
Golan and Yoram Globus.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, story was often like kind of secondary with them. And it was like action, action, action. And so they cut a lot of the backstory. So all you're seeing is like when the violence is happening, like, what? Why? And
yeah.
Chuck Norris himself even said, like, after the movie was done, and he looked back on it, he's like, oh, when you're filming it, it's like all these cool action sequences, but like when there was like no like story tying them all together, he's like, he goes, in retrospect, it was too much. It was too much.
It's
and
true.
He's right. It's just like a bunch of violent scenes and you're like, what, why?
And when you put them together,
you feel weirdly like, we'll talk about it, but like this, like the scene with the blowing, I don't know, whatever, it's 1985, we don't have any spoilers, but like the blowing up of the houses.
Oh my
like that.
Goodness.
I was like, holy cow, this feels so unnecessary.
Oh man, yeah. Well, let's get into it then. We've already talked about, we've done the preamble. So I'll just give I'll give more of a thing. If
Please.
You haven't seen this movie, it's called Invasion USA, starring Chuck Norris. It's literally just about Russian and Cuban terrorists invading the U.S. And I mean, in an interview with Norris, he saw something on the news that said, hey, you know, there are terrorists all over the U.S. that we don't even know about. And he thought, you know, there could be, that's a good idea for a film, can be, mm-hmm. you know, kind of a crazy idea. So they made it. So it's about that, but you guys need to know that what we're talking about is they kind of did just sort of put action sequences together to make an incredibly violent and I would really say depraved film that where a lot of action movies now won't even go to. Dave, give me your take. Just give me your take on the whole thing. Yeah, go.
Overall, I like it because it is a canon movie and it's from 85 and that's like my childhood. So there's a part of me that's like, oh, I could sit and watch this movie.
Right.
Overall, I don't think it's a great movie. I think Rotten Tomatoes gave it like an 18 or something like that.
Yeah, 18%.
And it's, again, when you just gave a little bit of a synopsis, it's still, but it's unclear. Like, the main bad guy played by Richard Lynch.
Richard Lynch, is, oh man.
Is Russian yet, but it's unclear exactly why he's doing it other than to do it.
Yeah, there's no
and
motivation.
And the cost of mayhem.
Him.
And then it's a bunch of, where is everyone else from?
Well, some of them are Cuban, which yeah. I don't know if that's just because they filmed
Communist
some
Latin
of it.
American guerrillas.
Yeah. And now I don't know if that's just because they were filming in South Florida or because, you know what I mean? Like maybe that's just what they had. I don't know. That was like, well, you know, we know some.
I don't know why that, yeah. Cubans. I don't know why he's Russian and they're communists. I mean, I get the communist
connection
with the
Latin
American guerrillas. I'm not exactly sure.
But they don't
either.
Really even bring that part up, though. They don't really talk that much about the fact that they're Cuban. It's mostly just about the two guys, him and his the other dude. I can't think of his name. But it's Richard Lynch and his right-hand man pretty much trying to bring down the U.S.
Nico Alexander Zale. Nico played by Alexander Zale. Richard Lynch, who is the main bad guy, I watched this the first time and God rest his soul, he passed in, 2012?
Yeah, I just read about that earlier.
When I first saw it, I was like, they're using, like, a 60-some-year-old man, a guy in his, like, mid to late 60s, for this part. Why didn't they get –
right.
Was he a big star? And I just didn't know, and I was like, what's the deal? He was only 45 when he made this.
Yeah.
But maybe you read this, like, he had gotten burns as a child.
Yeah.
Or a younger man when he's doing drugs.
He was 17. Yeah, very tragic. But he obviously turned things around. So
yeah, like he got sober. He went to the Actors Group or
Actors Studio.
Actors Studio, mm-hmm. And like became like he had like a Tony nomination at one point.
He won. And, I think he won an Oscar or he won a Saturn Award for something as well.
So
I don't know
he
what
won
it's...
an Oscar. No, Saturn Award.
No, Saturn Award.
A much lesser award that I've literally never heard of.
He turned
it around, and he had like a long career. A lot of it.
Oh, he made
movies and TV
ton
shows.
Ton of stuff. Yeah, his IMDb is full.
He still has one credit on IMDb that hasn't come out yet.
Really?
Yeah. If you look at it,
is it this podcast?
It's got to be. Did you submit this to IMDb?
Of course. Everything I do is submitted to IMDb.
Everything I do. A little bit of a Bryan Adams song.
Thank you. Now I have to get the rights
with
to that.
Sting and
that.
Rod Stewart. I do it for you. Or maybe that was just Bryan Adams. I don't remember.
I think it was
from
just
Robin
Adam.
Hood.
Oh, yes.
Anyways, he's got one called, I think it's called... Lewisburg that hasn't come out yet.
Is he? It's
in post production.
From 2000 that started in 2012 or before.
Yeah, it must be like 2012.
His last credit,
like
according, his last credit was Lords of Salem, the Rob Zombie film, which they had to replace him because he was on such poor health. I don't know if he's in any of it. It was unclear. I'll have to, and I have not seen that. Even though I am a fan of Rob Zombie's films, I have not seen that.
Yeah.
One, so I'll have to check it out. But
yeah, he was in a ton of horror movies. And he's good in this. But
he's great in this.
Yeah, and
he's
and
one
his
of the
look, because of those burns makes him like very specific. Now I look at him like, oh, you're just so unique because of that horrific injury earlier on in your life.
Right. At first, I was like, at first I thought it was bad makeup. I really did. And I feel bad for thinking that.
Yeah.
But I was like, what is happening with this guy? And then I was like, I bet he was burned. It dawned on me at some point. And then
I just thought he was an old man.
Yeah. Nobody. Here's the thing. They did not. Yes, he does have a very interesting and unique look. But I think he rocks this part. Like, he is so believable as a bad guy. He's terrifying.
For sure.
He is ruthless. You get that he's a bad guy immediately.
He doesn't have to even try. He doesn't make any effort, right? Like, he plays bad guys in tons of the stuff that he's been in. It's like, oh, you look like a bad guy? You don't even have to push it. You're just You ooze villain.
Yeah, and his eyes. It's funny because if you look at his wiki or his IMDb, he's got great shots of him smiling, and he's looks like a very joyful, you know, yeah. Like it's like, oh wow. But he, my man, when he turns it on, whoo,
uh-huh.
He's a scary guy.
Yeah, scary guy.
Yeah, he saves this film in a lot of ways. I will say,
in a lot of ways, absolutely. Even though Bruce Willis, Chuck Norris he does make me laugh at certain points because he does, in my opinion, he does have some funny lines, but he's
ironically funny. Oh, what?
I in my opinion, they were genuinely funny. Like when he gets caught, when he goes to the bar to meet his friend.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy runs into him like right away. Like he's like, "What are you doing here?
You buying or selling?"
Yeah, right.
I'm just looking.
Yeah, and it's something like he's like this bully guy is like, oh, I don't know you, and then Chuck is something. What do you say? Something like, no, I don't know you either.
This ain't
so
no
I guess
peep
makes
show.
Even.
Yeah, I don't know you. I don't know you either. You don't have to know me. I'm like, what's happening here? this is bad dialogue. Yeah, and then he breaks the bottle with his hand.
Yeah,
like he grabs the other guy's hand who is holding a bottle of beer. And uses that guy's hand to break the bottle, which hurts that man. And then he leaves the movie. We don't see him again.
He goes into another room.
He goes into another room.
Literally, he goes into another room in the bar, and then he's done.
That's right.
And no one else has any issues with him.
And then he finds his friend.
Absolutely.
Where's Rostov? That's the most of the movie. Here's the most of the movie. Terrorists. Hunter, who is and his name is Hunter. Like, we can't talk enough about the fact that the main character's name is Hunter. Just goes around killing people and saying, "Where's Rostov? Where's Rostov?
Mad Hunter." Now, are you aware that there's another movie out there? So his name is Matt. His name is Matt Hunter.
Yeah,
and
I do feel a kinship to him, of course.
Absolutely. So I'm going to read this from IMDb.
Please.
Avenging Force, 1986, when that came out.
Of course.
It was originally written as a sequel to this film, Invasion USA.
Oh, my gosh.
With Chuck Norris returning to the role of Matt Hunter. When he was uninterested, the role was rewritten to be younger and given to the rising canon star Michael Dudikoff instead. Despite sharing the same main character name, the finished film was no longer truly a sequel or prequel to the earlier film, but stood on its own as a standalone movie. So there's another movie out there that has Matt Hunter as the name, but it's unrelated to Invasion USA, other than it was going to be a sequel, but then Chuck Norris said, no thanks. And so then they're like, all right, I guess we'll kind of like redo things. But you know what? We're going to keep that name.
Why? It's such a great name.
It's crazy. Like, just change the name.
Right. I mean, why are you married to the name?
It's ridiculous. But that's true. That's the beauty of these canon films is that
it doesn't
these
matter.
Two guys are just like,
they don't care.
That's what we want. That's what we're doing.
People will watch it, and it's true. People watch it. People in the Midwest are eating these up in the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much Avenging Force is being eaten up, but
I never even heard of it. But I had not heard of Invasion USA, although I have talked to other people about it, and everyone I've talked to about it is like, oh, yeah, it's insane. The movie's insane.
Yeah, it's got a bit of a cult following in that it is a Chuck Norris movie. It's an insane movie, and it's a canon movie. Like, those things are enough to, like, give it legs forever.
Speaking of insane, okay, so we've touched on some of the most insane moments. What stands out for you as the most, like, blink, 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 eyes wide open, what is happening here moment?
Okay, so let's go over a couple things here. So right away in the beginning of the movie, they're on a boat. Right? They're on a boat.
Yeah, beginning of the movie,
you're
right.
A refugee boat. They're trying to get to the U.S.
Cubans are trying to get to the U.S., right?
Yes. There's also very clearly just some plain old Caucasian dudes. And I get that, like, you can be paler and be Cuban. I get that. But, like, clearly it's like we're just looking to fill bodies.
Yeah, it's true because there needs to be a lot of people on this boat, right?
Yeah. And quickly it happens where where Mikhail Rostov, the main bad guy, Richard Lynch, comes on, pretends to be an American Coast Guard, and they end up Richard and the rest of the crew just end up killing everyone, on the refugee boat.
Just, right? Everyone pulls out an automatic machine gun and just kills them.
Immediately. And it's happened so fast. And there's plenty of violent movies. John Wick is violent. John Wick is super violent. Any Tarantino film is super violent.
It's true.
But the stories are better in all of those. And in those movies, it's like highly stylized. This
yes.
one is more just brutal. And I'm not saying it looks that real or anything because it's 1985.
No,
so
but
they're not looking that real.
Mm-hmm.
But it still is like a brutal look. And feels like
no,
it's
it
happening
is.
For almost no reason, even though I guess it is, which makes it harder to deal with.
It's true. You touched on something good there. I think that's part of the horror of it is that there is seemingly no reason. It's
yeah,
you know,
the
it's like
not great.
What's scarier than a killer? A killer who just kills for no reason. You know,
yeah
the story's terrible. But yeah, you're right. It does. It lends to the scariness
yeah.
of it.
So then they go. So then we find out that there are drugs on the boat. And he wants to sell the drugs, but he also now wants to create an invasion in the USA, like you said, Chuck Norris, why he wrote the movie. And it's like, all right, let's have a bunch of people come in, these guerrilla renegades, and they're gonna like we're gonna spread them in theory across the whole U.S. and cause chaos and wreak havoc, right? But and this also feels like cold, like eerily realistic, especially in today's environment.
Mm-hmm.
Is let's jump to the moment. I mean, it's insane when the boats come to the shores, like it's storming Normandy.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, the leading up to it too. So there's the two people that are just having a little tryst on the beach, the dude and the
yeah.
chick, and they have their portable TV there because of course you do when
of
you're
course.
On the thing, and they're you know they're making out, having some good times, and the his right hand man just is like, well,
yeah, Nico.
You don't know why, but you find out later. He's, I gotta clear this beach. We got boats coming. We got boats coming in, so I'm gonna kill these two people, and then watch the TV as these boats land. And it is
yeah.
boats from, and they allude to the fact that they are World War II landing
yes.
craft.
Yes, which is crazy, and that we wouldn't have seen these four or five whatever boats they have.
Right.
Coming in, no one would have they undetected. But all right, whatever. It's 1985.
right, then, and there's and I've to people who haven't seen this. There is so many people. This isn't like,
yeah.
You're thinking this is low budget, and it is kind of low budget. But I don't know how they found all these people. There's so many people.
There's a bunch of people, and during the film, when you say low budget, the director, who is Joseph Zito.
Yeah.
He said, like, at some point, because the Cannon Brothers were Cannon Brothers. I call them Cannon Brothers.
I think that's fair.
That's fine. Yeah, I'll call them that. The Cannon Brothers, like, were also, like, cheap in many ways. And they were, like, notoriously so.
Sure.
And at some point, they wanted to talk to him. And he's like, oh, boy, here we go. I know this is going to be – it's like a budget concern.
Yeah.
And it was odd. They were like, hey, we like what we see. We're putting another $2 million into this movie, which is, like, a rarity.
Right.
So they ended up, like, throwing a little more money in this budget. Was bigger than maybe what normal ones are.
Yeah.
For these guys' movies. Also interesting, since talking about Joseph Zito, at one point, Chuck Norris, and you probably know this, for the reporter role, wanted Whoopi Goldberg.
I was going to say this. Yeah, I have this written down too. But you tell.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Wanted Whoopi Goldberg, and Joseph Zito was like, nah.
Nah.
And he went with the lady that he went with, who was
Margaret.
What was her name? Melissa Prophet.
Yeah, Melissa
and
Melissa Prava, yeah,
for the role of Dahlia McGuire, and so Chuck Norris didn't get what he wanted, and he said later on, he's like, "Needless to say, I never worked with him again."
Yeah, we've never used that director again. What's funny
yeah.
is the way it is in I think it was in Wiki or whatever. It says like she had already gotten the color purple, but it hadn't started yet. She was an extra in A Force of One, which I have also not seen. Apparently but she was just an extra. They must have made some connection there and whatever.
She's already doing comedy. She's already
yeah, that's what I mean. Like she's already done
Force in 85.
Yeah, I think she's already done Jumpin' Jack Flash too at this point, which was a pretty big success.
Huh. Yeah, she was already like the main person in movies.
Yeah, yeah. But according to this, she was excited to do it and then and let's talk about that for a minute. Why the reporter? Why is she even in this movie? Easily cut
out. Unnecessary.
It's completely unnecessary. There's not even – you might even say, like, oh, we needed a love story. Nope. There's no love story.
Nope.
In fact, she seems to dislike him throughout. Even when he saves her life, she calls him a creep, a dumb SOB, and then tries to hit him with a garbage can lid, which would really hurt if it hit you.
And also, if you look at that scene where that garbage can lid is thrown, I'm 90% sure it's a stunt double. If you look at it again and look at his hair, it looks like it's a stunt double.
Really?
It hits his head.
That's what I was like. It does get close to his head.
It gets super close. You're like, he didn't flinch. I'm like, oh, no. Man.
I mean, it is Chuck Norris.
What's that?
It is
Chuck Norris. He wouldn't flinch. Fair point. But she, I thought, I'm like, are we supposed to see this through her eyes? But no,
right.
We're seeing it through Chuck's eyes. Like, it's, this is Chuck Norris's movie.
Yeah,
she feel unnecessary. Other than, I guess, he's got to kind of save her a couple of points. But he's also just trying to save the whole city.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. She doesn't really get in the way where, I mean, in these times, they would put these poor women in these awful roles where they would just be like a nuisance basically to the main character.
Yep.
She isn't that. And in fact, at one point during the car chase, she does help save the other woman.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. She is like a tough-minded. She wants to get to the story and she wants to like help and all that. So yeah, she definitely isn't like just a useless character. She is kind of a useless character,
but her
because
part
they don't
makes,
give her much to do.
Yeah, it's true. You know what? They could have made her part of – but she's really not a part of the plot other than she – it's almost like the plot sort of goes over to her and then goes away. It doesn't follow her to anywhere.
No, she just comes back to her every now and again. So
yeah,
that's – so then when we're looking at this movie and that's what's happening is like once they like they land at the beaches of Florida – then they start causing mayhem. And the idea is like, let's cause mayhem in the cities.
Yeah.
And again, we'll focus on this area because that's where the Chuck Norris is. But it's in theory going to be taking place everywhere.
Yeah.
So then we just see like a bunch of these moments. That's what the next part of the movie is, right? Like, let's see the moments where the mayhem is happening.
And this is where it does get crazy. Like, they do show some pretty – wow. The vignettes are just – they're astounding.
Yeah, the vignettes. So, let's – because this is interesting because then they go to – let's talk about like the first big vignette.
The
and
one
that
the,
is the main character.
Oh, no. Which
going,
one?
The one where he's got the – I like to say the one where he's got the rocket launcher, but they have rocket launcher.
Oh, my
launcher
gosh. I have a whole thing about the – okay. We have to get back to that.
We'll get back to that. We'll get back to that.
Yes,
but he goes into – so we go to the thing where he's at the neighborhood that they're all like celebrating Christmas because it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
So Richard Lynch and his cronies they pull up in this neighborhood and
in like a pickup truck,
like a pickup truck. And then he just grabs his rocket launcher. Another guy does, but Richard wants to do it himself or, Rostov.
Yeah.
So he's like, give me it. So then he takes it and then just starts blowing up houses that people are obviously clearly in.
Like we've just seen all these people out.
Families,
children. We just saw a little child, like a 7-year-old, put a star on their Christmas tree outside and then go back into the house. And then, Dave.
He does it to like 5 houses.
It's a lot of houses. You think maybe 1 or 2, but houses just keep blowing up.
And then they drive away and we're left with that scene for a while. And it is like, again, it's an 1985 action movie, but it is like
that
a
was disturbing.
Brutal scene.
It really is
disturbing.
Especially because they do keep it on there. Like the truck, here's what creeped me out, is that they blow up all these houses. Their house is on fire and they just slowly drive away. There's no peeling out. They're like,
no,
we're just going to leave. And you do see, people from the house. You see a woman like grab her daughter who I think was alive and standing there, but it's just like, you know, having a horrible time running away. And then people like running from houses that are burning. It's a pretty realistic. I mean, it's a little too real. I'll be honest.
It's a little too real given this climate when there is like school shootings and just like
right now. Yeah.
Uninhibited violence for seemingly, whatever. It doesn't feel it's like it comes out of nowhere. That's what happens here.
Yeah.
But it happens with rocket
launchers,
bazookas, whatever. And it's a lot. And interesting part about that is that neighborhood, they did blow it up. That neighborhood was going to get raised for whatever, like an airport or something like that, is going to get destroyed anyways.
Yeah, the airport was putting in a new runway, and they basically said, yeah, you can buy all these houses. And that's the other thing. Those were houses. Those were real homes. Someone's childhood home was blown up in a Chuck Norris film.
Which, that is kind of neat, but also you're like, that's where I grew up. It's gone.
What happened to your house? Well, let me pop in Invasion USA.
Yeah.
Show you.
Yeah, let's see this thing. Yeah,
that's
crazy.
Bonkers to me. Bonkers.
Bonkers.
Oh my goodness.
So that part is, when you're asking me, it's a long way to get to that. But like,
Part,
I mean, there's more of them, but that was the first part. And when I watched it the first time, I remember thinking, oh, that felt like a lot.
Yeah.
And it didn't sit with me well. I can go through John Wick and just like, love it. Awesome.
Yeah.
And I enjoy the movie and the violence. But this one, I was like, this feels weird and not great.
Yeah. It's like, are we watching a documentary? Because I don't want to.
Yeah. Also in John Wick, he's killing bad people who want to kill him. Yeah. So it makes sense. This guy's just killing innocent people.
We feel like he's a little bit more justified.
Way more justified. He's not killing – no one's killing innocent people in those movies. I don't think. At least not a lot.
Well, and so many people get innocent – yeah, if innocent people get killed, it's on accident in John Wick films.
Yeah, and this is a lot of them. It's not like one of them. It's like, we get it. Okay, you killed a hostage. We get it. You're a bad guy. It's like he just kept blowing up houses.
And I mean, you don't see children get killed, but you see children get killed. Like,
right, that's
there's – it's terrible. It's
crazy.
Such a Christmas film. So this scene – and I will talk about a little bit about the Christmas stuff. So as Dave just said, this weird, crazy scene. This is the first glimpse we also see of Christmas. But you should also know we're about halfway through the film when this happens. Or at least the first third, wouldn't you say? We're a ways.
Yeah,
we might see it
a tad bit earlier. We see a Christmas tree at a bar on like.
Yeah.
But that might be earlier, but we see a little bit of Christmas tree at that point when they're at some like a beach bar or something like that.
Yeah. But here is where it really.
It's clear that it's Christmas.
It's clear it's Christmas, and then after that. Is and there's a few things that happen between, but then we get to the mall scene, which is the most Christmassy part of the film, where one of the terrorists is taking a bomb to a mall, of course, as you do.
And I've got two things about that part. One,
please.
It's always weird in Christmas movies when Christmas is not in a wintry place. It always feels a little strange, doesn't it?
No
snow.
Yeah, like I mean, in if we didn't talk about that, we should have in Ernest. Ernest Saves Christmas, because it takes place in Orlando, where I currently live, strangely enough. And it is. It's kind of strange in that way. But
it's weird.
Yeah. Anyway, your other thing?
Yeah, let's go to the mall. So let's go to the mall scene. This is later on.
Yes.
Now we're just talking about violent scenes. I still say everyone watch this movie.
I agree with Dave.
It is a violent movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, he goes to the mall, and maybe you saw this too, and I think it's so funny. They take a bomb to a mall. Which that's not the funny part. That's tragic and insane.
No, just the way you delivered it. They take a bomb.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And it feels too real for today.
For sure.
But what struck me as so funny is the bad guy. And that guy was, I wish I could remember who that was.
He looked familiar to me too.
Yeah, he did look a little familiar, and I can't think of his name at the moment, but he was like his like left-hand man, I guess you could
say. Yeah, he was prominent in other scenes where exposition was happening.
So he has a bomb in a shopping bag with like wrapped in a Christmas present, so it looks discreet. And he sets it down, and then a husband and wife or a couple notice that it's like, oh, that guy left a
that man
package
left
there.
His left his package.
That so then the guy in the couple picks it up and is like, sir, you dropped your package. He chased after for so long, it was clear that the bad guy you look back and was like kind of running away from him.
Yeah.
The guy's like, sir, sir, sir. And I'm like, no one would keep chasing him. He was with the cops when the mall police were chasing. He was still running after them.
I think the point
where he ended up dying as a result.
Yes. That might have been the only time I laughed at several parts, ironically, and that was one of them. Because the fact – it was kind of a comedic beat too, because you see – the cops start chasing him because I'm not sure why they're chasing him. I guess just because someone's yelling at somebody. So they hear yelling and they go. So security guards are running after him. But it's funny because you see the security guards run off screen chasing this guy. And then you see the guy with the bag behind him. Sir, sir, like a Muppet running after this guy.
It's so funny.
Of course, explosion happens.
Yeah, and he gets mowed down as well from the incredible amount of gunfire that takes place in this mall. Also, a mall that was going to get destroyed so they could have their way with this mall.
Yeah, they did. And, I mean, there were cars driven through this mall. And Dave's right. They were another place. I don't know how they kept finding these things. We're like, hey, you got any other stuff you're about to demolish? Because we want to film it.
It's so funny and silly and wild.
Oh, my gosh.
Norris does a lot of his own stunts on that truck.
He does. You can see that it's him.
You can see that it's him. Yeah, which is cool. And I like when that's happening. But it's a mayhem in the mall. Too much so. Again, too much. Too many innocent people just getting destroyed.
It's so many innocent people. So many.
And that takes me out of it a little bit. And I'm like, were other movies like this?
I don't...
I'm sure that there probably were a lot of them, especially the canon guys. But
yeah.
I, in the really good ones, I don't think that's happening like that.
No, I mean, I would venture to guess if we go back and watch like Commando or Predator or something like that, we're not seeing a lot of innocent people get killed. And if it happens, it's meaningful in that it, you know, propels the plot forward or the main character gives him some whatever. But in this case, it's horrible. It's just a horror.
Yep, or if it happens in those other movies, it's like already happened. Like it did that in
this
movie once too, when he went to the carnival. But usually it's like after the aftermath, and you're like, oh my gosh, the carnage. But other than that, they're not showing it happen in person, except for maybe one person. Otherwise, the people that are dying are usually like, if they're good guys, they're still usually like military or cops, something like that. And they're like, okay, well, they had
sort
guns, but it wasn't ever just, it wasn't ever just like innocent bystanders.
Well, that's the other thing too, is that they are true innocents, but we don't – none of these people, although we do see these little vignettes with them, we don't have any connection to these people other than – like, for instance, the scene where they're blowing up the neighborhood, we see a dad and his two kids putting the lights up on the tree. Mom says dinner time. They call in. And it's just a normal – like, I mean, and they do like a pan shot of the neighborhood. It is neighborhood USA. Could be anywhere, right? And they call them in. And so we see these characters. We see some lines from them and stuff. But we don't know anything about them. We really don't know their relationship to anything. And then it's just cut to them in a truck with the bazooka. And that's kind of how it is in the mall, too. We see the little thing about the kid with the gum and, you know, getting ready to throw it on the thing.
That's supposed to be this, like, real-life comedy moment.
Yeah. Hey, how about he has some gum? A lot of gum, and he throws it, get this, on the windshield of the truck. Ooh. And that security guard, he was mad.
You're so
boy,
mad.
Boy, howdy.
You're so mad. And that's what a lot of the movies, these vignettes, and it's Chuck Norris. For whatever reason, it's like he's the only one that's a lot of these action movies. You're the only one that can do it, and I get that. That's like a
trope
in movies.
That's another thing. Yeah, like with it, the guy comes to him, like Colonel Troutman from Rambo. He comes to find him in Louisiana or Florida, in this cabin with no lights or power or anything, in the dark. We don't even know who this person is. I don't even know if we know the name of this person. We know he worked for the CIA, but it's one of those. I'm not going back to the job.
Yep,
it's Rostov.
And I like those.
Okay, I'm coming back to the job.
Yeah, and I like those movies.
I do too.
I'm 100% into those movies.
Oh, for sure.
It's the story is weak in this, and it affects everything. That's why I like story, right? That's why story rules the day. Like you got to have the good story, And it can't just be a series of action sequences, which this closely was, still made money, and is still watched, but it's nutso. And then, yeah, so Chuck Norris has got to get closer to these people. And it's just craziness. And we see a ton of those types of scenes. I do like it when Chuck Norris, he goes to, so later on after they blow up the neighborhood, they destroy the mall. I think this is after that. Is that when he goes to that one bar? The two guys that were like buffing their car.
Yes.
One guy's like
this
a total musclehead.
This is an insane scene. This whole sequence is, again, a lot of these are just bonkers.
Yeah,
where he goes in and he has the best line in this, though.
He does. What is it? I can't remember.
If you survive this, tell Rostov it's time to die.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And also, it's almost like, have you read the book The Secret, where if you put that energy out into the universe, it is almost like that, where he's just putting the energy out that, Rostov, it's time to die. It's time to die. So that this guy I think he honestly starts to believe it, because they say he has like a dream about this dream about Hunter attacking me and saying it's time to die.
Another nightmare.
another nightmare. He blots his forehead with it. No, I'm just kidding. Wouldn't that be hilarious? Yeah. Mikhail, you're having another nightmare, and you're wearing your shoes and all your clothes. I noticed that too. He doesn't look real comfy.
No, he's got to be ready to go at any time. So then he delivers that line, it's time to die, which is going to be like the signature line of like the movie, right?
And it is.
And like that bad guy has to repeat it, which is fun.
Yeah, there are a lot of good touchstones, for sure. A lot of good touchstones. Yeah. And also, I want to say too, like, the violence is not just limited to the bad guys. Chuck Norris he's a murderer. He's not a vigilante. I mean, he is a vigilante, but he's a straight-up murderer. In any of these interrogation scenes, it could go either way. He could just shoot them. Because some he does, some he might not. Just however he's feeling at the time.
In these early movies, in these early action movies, and you can say the same for Seagal.
Oh, yeah.
I think you can say the same for Van Damme. Mm-hmm. I think you can say the same for Norris, clearly. But these early action movies, of all of theirs, a lot of them, I should say all of them, but when they're supposed to be like military guys or ex-military, there's like a free use of weapons and just shoot them up.
Oh, yeah.
But then later on, they, for whatever reason, because of what the audience wants, they end up like doing a lot more, like they don't kill people with guns, right? Now they use hand-to-hand, like,
yeah.
Later Seagal movies are, in his prime, was like a lot of knife fight and hand-to-hand combat. Van Damme, a lot of fight scenes with, you know, kickboxing.
Yeah, they took
Norris,
choreography.
Way more of those. Yeah, choreography. Because I think that's what we wanted to see. It's like that is even harder for them. You know, they were even more heroic because they were doing it with their hands. But these early ones, I think a lot of them, they do it with gunplay. And only later on, through trial and error, through finding out what audiences like, did they realize, oh, these guys know. They know karate and they know all that. And they also did it early in movies. Like Chuck Norris early movies, he's definitely a kung fu guy.
Because
he was in like
– we see his martial arts skills.
Yeah, like he's in a Bruce Lee movie early on. But then there's a moment where we're like, guns, guns, guns.
Yeah, and this is directly in the middle of that for sure.
Yes.
And I have a note too that, you know, there's only really one scene. Well, there's a few, but really just that last fight. Is there any much hand-to-hand? And in that one, I will say I did really like that fight, as short as it was, between the main bad guy and Norris, is that he gets kicked, which is funny because they do it in slow motion. Like right now, this is just sort of, I would say, a normal kick. He kicks him normal in the chest, but it gets a slow-mo spotlight. But he kicks him in the face and punches him, and the guy falls down. That would hurt. I mean, we're so used to seeing The Rock get hit by rocks, and he's just like, bah, nothing.
Yeah.
You know, but in this, it's like, no, that would probably hurt, and it probably would put me down for a few seconds.
Oh, my God. A few months ago, I bumped my toe into my ottoman, and I broke my toe.
Yeah.
And I wasn't running toward it.
No.
I got up
Oh, hold on.
The action sequences are insane. They wouldn't be able to handle any of these things, even though they're all tough guys.
Sorry, go back a little bit. The internet was not kind to you. No, it's okay. You just cut out a little bit.
Oh, you want me to talk more about my ottoman foot break?
Yeah, I guess you just did. Okay,
it is riveting. It is riveting. I broke my toe on my ottoman. I bumped into it, took two steps, hit it, broke, could tell immediately. And these guys are falling out of buildings and living and whatever.
It's crazy.
Action movies are insane.
They are, and they're getting – they were ridiculous in the 80s. Then they got sort of, quote-unquote, more realistic. I think now we're just going back to ridiculousness.
For sure.
But it's,
I've said this so many times now, but like
– but it's more stylized.
Yeah. I mean, like Hobbs and Shaw, they're superheroes. They're not –
They're superheroes. Exactly. Yeah. I think it was some of the Fast movies that went beyond like, okay, we're not even pretending to deal with reality anymore.
Yeah. You know? And make no mistake, I love it.
Me wrong. Yeah, I will. I'll watch them. I'll watch those all day for sure.
Me too.
For me, I think
Hear your crazy moments here. What do you think? Where does this stand out?
Oh man, the craziest one, I kind of went back and before we started talking about one of the scene where he gets the guns and trades them for the drugs. Mm-hmm. That scene is nuts because he's trading drugs. He gives the drugs to the dude, this guy in some building in Miami or something is what it seems like.
Played by Billy Drago. His name is Mickey in the movie, and it's Billy Drago, and he's such a specific looking dude.
He is. He is the slimiest, hair slicked back guy. If you saw him dressed like this, you'd be like, oh, you're a drug dealer.
Yeah, you definitely know him from Untouchables, The Untouchables.
Oh, yeah.
He's been in a million things, but he is like nonstop sweaty.
Yeah.
He's got a cut jawline. He's like
he does. That's true. He has
no fat on him.
No. And he goes and they have the little. It's like okay, they're on the phone. He says to his guys, you know, yeah, the guns are all here, great. And then okay, the drugs are good. And he tells his girlfriend, "Go ahead, baby," or whatever. So she starts snorting so much cocaine up her nose. With a piece of metal, some kind of metal straw, because those are everywhere. Yeah. And Mikhail, our bad guy, he's gonna do a deal with these guys, but for no reason that we can see, he is gonna double cross this guy. And his first move is to push the woman's head down so that the metal straw goes into her face. And then
that was brutal looking.
And then he shoots the guy below his belt it's clear that that's where he shoots him. He doesn't shoot him anywhere else, I don't think. Just there.
Yeah, that might be it. I think that's it. That might be it.
So that's it. So that's where, and then he runs away. But I do like the fact that the guy who like runs the front desk of this flop house hotel, he runs up there, sees the drugs, takes the drugs and puts them in a bag and then runs away as if it's Tuesday again.
Was great. Like that, like those little moments are fun. Those little moments are super fun. Yes. You're like, oh yeah, smart move. That's what
smart
that
move.
Guy
yeah.
should do.
I was like, all right. Yeah. That's good for you, buddy. Let's make something out of this. Oh, just that. I was like, are you kidding me with this? That's horrible. Oh, and then he throws her out the window. That's it.
It was brutal.
He just kind of, tosses
her out
the window.
That was a lot. I will agree. I think pushing her nose into the straw and throwing out the window. Ugh, it's a quick, brutal scene.
Gah.
Yeah.
The bomb on the bus. I was already feeling like, and they did, it did catch a few moments kind of real where I was like, yeah, of course they're getting their kids on buses because they got to get them out of here. Stuff is happening. And so I do think that was some, like that was some thoughtful storytelling a little bit. Like, okay, what – this is happening. What's the effects somewhere else? Which is what you would do in a good – telling a good story. So they're putting kids on the buses to get them away from this. However, it backfires on them because the terrorists apparently are ready to put in a magnetic bomb on this bus that is full of children. Yep. singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat, nonetheless.
That part was 100% unbelievable. The amount of times those kids sang Row, Row, Row Your Boat. This is 1985. This isn't 1945. This is 1985. And all these kids are singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. And they're only singing the first part.
Yeah.
Row, row, row your boat, boat gently down the stream, merrily, 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 life is but a dream. And they just kept singing that part over and over, again. There's no way kids are doing that. I get it was meant to show their innocence, yes, and everything is fine, merrily, merrily. That part was insanity to me. That part was as crazy as anything else I saw in the movie.
No, it was. and then, of course, Hunter saves the day because he's in – I don't know how he figures it out. There's really no way you can tell that these guys have driven beside a bus, put a magnetic bomb on a bus with a timer. But don't worry. Matt Hunter will come along, take the bomb off the bus, and in approximately 4 seconds, catch up to the car of the terrorists, throw the bomb back at them before they can throw it
and
out.
And what was the point? They're doing all these, and these are all massive things.
Yeah,
bombing
like
a school bus, bombing a neighborhood, all those massive I get, but like what are they hoping to achieve? They just want to run everyone out of town so they can run the town, or what are they getting out of this?
It's true. Like what's your end goal? I mean, they are creating havoc. And if these things happened, there would be a mass panic for sure.
Yeah, but that doesn't change the fact that they still have an insanely small army of people. Yes, there were a lot of people for a movie, but it's still an insanely small number of people for the amount of the American military that we have and the people that we could bring in to take them down.
Yeah, no, I mean, in this – and for those of you who haven't seen it, this is going on for a week, maybe more, right? This is all – I mean, this is happening for quite a while.
Yeah.
It's not just a couple of days.
No, it's happening for a while. So can you imagine having lived through this? I mean, I was going to say, could you imagine living through a civil war that was years?
Exactly.
But then
you could
also just say, like, can you imagine living in any war-torn country where this has just been your life? Man. Can you imagine?
True. No, I can't.
I can't.
Yeah.
A week seems long.
For this
clearly
movie.
A week is long, but
– yeah. Well,
I can't even fathom what and that's barely anything happening. Like, some of these people are like having major devastation, and this movie was majorly devastating. But like,
for us,
right, like in countries where there's like massive decades long war.
Yeah. Hey,
wild.
Social commentary. You get social commentary and comedy from Matt's Holiday
Madness. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Madness.
It makes the USA really did – made me think. What am I talking about? This is.
I hate to say it, but it did make me think quite a bit as well.
It did.
Oh,
me
man.
Too.
Just more and reason I, why you I'm people – you have to see this movie. You have to know – but it's like the friend that you love to make fun of. Like, yeah, he's our friend, but look at all these flaws. Look at all of his flaws. And I am judging him hard. But he's my friend.
That's right.
Am I right to judge him? No. But am I going to stop?
I can sit through this movie on any Saturday afternoon.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I will watch this again. And I will definitely tell other people who have not seen it that they need to see it.
Yeah,
people, if you like action films and you like just crazy movies, this is one you definitely need to see.
Absolutely. Let's get to – we get to any part you want. What, is there a part you want to go to?
No, whatever. I mean, every part?
Every part.
I did want to say one other quick thing, though, that I found kind of crazy and that I don't always – I think I don't know these things, is that it had a $12 million budget, but Norris was paid $2 million of that budget. $2 million went to Norris just for Chuck Norris.
Wow.
Now, this is 1985. So, I mean, and I know actors get paid – double-digit millions is not an
That's a big payday in 85.
That's huge in 85. I mean, it'd be huge now. My goodness.
Yeah.
But they shot it for 10 weeks. So it was this was a slog of a movie too. Like, that's a long time to shoot a film.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know enough about 2 months?
2 months and two and a half months. I guess – I mean, I don't know. I guess, like, the Avengers movies are filming that long.
I mean, definitely longer than that.
You would assume longer than
that.
But,
I mean, those are also massive.
That's true. Maybe for the scale, 10
yeah,
weeks isn't,
months,
isn't so long.
I don't think it's incredible. It's a length of a movie, but it still is a lot going on. And I mean, I've never been part of a 2.5 month project, so I can't even speak to that.
True enough. Me neither.
But it is crazy how much you got paid. And this is at a time when Canon movies were like on the upswing and like, hey, yeah, we're churning out movies. And they had money to pay. And by the end of it, they didn't. Like, if you watch the documentary, like, they ran out of money.
And, yeah. And I was reading about it too. They went down. So that was the only other thing I wanted to mention, but no, go ahead to whatever you,
I was just gonna say, as we get to the end now, so there all these vignettes, like you said, of this violence, and also intercut with moments of Chuck Norris taking down some of the bad guys and getting closer and closer, right? And then we get to the end, and for whatever reason, they go to this like bank-like building, I guess, and they take – I think they're all going after Chuck, I guess.
It's unclear. It's truly
it's
unclear.
It's kind of unclear. It's kind of unclear. There was like a fake arrest to try to lure them in, I guess.
That was
arrested
Chuck
Norris, but I think that was kind of a setup.
But it's never said. We see him get arrested, and then all of a sudden we see him back in the movie with a grenade launcher.
Unclear. So they go to this like bank-like building, and they enter the rooms. And each room they enter, they are firing away. As soon as they walk in, there's no one in the building. No one.
Nope.
And they're just like unloading. And it's like exciting to see gunfire or whatever, but it's like there's just no one there. Wait, I'm thankfully like, great, no one's dying. This is great.
first time in the movie, no one's dying.
First time, no one's dying for no reason.
Right.
So so then they kind of like take over this building, but they get trapped there because I think they think Chuck Norris is there. And for some reason, they got to send all these guys to kill this one man.
Yeah.
And he is there, but they set him up because when they're all inside, then the military is setting up shop outside to surround them.
Right.
Which they do. And then there's a huge gunfight that took way longer than it should have because all those guys are surrounded, but they all had huge weapons.
Yeah. It's like a war. It's like a mini war. And there are so many like legit tanks. There are tanks in this film. Like
there's a lot
military
of
stuff. I don't know how, I mean, yeah. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, good guys and bad guys have tanks. But then it's left to the end with our two main adversaries, which makes sense, of course.
Yeah.
Rostov and Hunter. And it ends in the only way that it could have.
This is exactly right? What I was thinking. Yeah, no. Please, you're going to say what I've – yeah, go ahead.
Please say it.
No, it ends with him getting – with a rocket launcher. Everything in this movie is a rocket launcher.
They both have one.
They both have one. Of course.
It becomes a game of like a standoff, a quick draw, right? Like it's the old West.
Who can rocket launch faster?
Yeah, and that was like – you could tell you're like, what if they have rocket launchers? And it's like the old West where it's like, who's the faster draw? And because even like Norris didn't put it up on his shoulder. He like slung it like he would.
He has it. I mean, he just pulls it. I mean, he's coming up behind him. He doesn't even have it to his.
He's not
to
set
his shoulder
up with it at all.
No, he lets him know he's behind him by pulling out the extension. I don't know how a rocket launcher works. Pulling out the extension and shooting him. I mean, there's really no. He doesn't really give
blast
much of a chance. Just, I mean,
blast him. He's too close.
He would have died. He would have been obliterated.
Obliterated.
Yeah. Nothing left
of
either of them.
And not only would he have been obliterated, but something else would have been obliterated that didn't happen. And that is you see
the
thing go off and you see Rostov's head.
Oh, I didn't
if
see that.
If you watch it again.
I'm going to watch it again.
You see an intact head. Kind of falling out the window.
See, I saw a foot. You can see his shoes. Like,
also insane.
Yeah, I mean,
everything would have been destroyed.
Right.
But his shoe and his head definitely are present.
The special effects man was like, "We need to see some shoes here flying out the window."
Yeah, we got to see some shoes. I got these shoes. You asked me to bring them in. Let's put them in the movie.
I brought them home. We got these shoes, please.
And Chuck Norris says, "What does he say?" It's like,
"It's time." That's it.
Yeah,
it's time. It's time.
Which I also kind of like.
Yeah, no, I mean, it has to. It has to be his.
It's got
to
be that. It's got to be that. And then what I do like is the movie like ends immediately.
Yeah, there's no, there's no
nothing.
Well, okay, but 3 seconds before that, you see, okay, the war's going on between the guerrillas and the U.S. military, yep. And nothing has changed. People are dying on both sides. But then we cut away from it, and then we cut back to it, and now suddenly they're surrendering. We don't know. The tide has not turned in any way, as far as we can tell.
No, I guess enough of them had died where they're like, all right, we got to give it up.
Yeah, and all we can assume is like, oh, I guess the good guys won. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we guess we got to wrap it up.
Yeah. But then it just ends.
The movie ends.
He explodes.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah. What are we going to – there's not a real wrap up. There's no girl to kiss at the end, that's for sure.
No, there's no love story. I don't have a problem with no love story.
No, me neither.
In fact, I like that part.
I kind of do too. But then again, it leads us to the fact, why is she even in the movie?
Why is she even in the movie?
No.
She's not.
Why is that character in the movie? I shouldn't say she. Of course, you know.
Right.
We're not saying women shouldn't be in the movie, but that character is pointless. Completely pointless.
Man or woman, it didn't matter. That character
didn't matter.
It didn't have a lot of purpose.
Right.
That movie also like just is a nice little, for many reasons, but like, snapshot of that era, like mid-80s movies, because I feel like in that range of time we were like, you know what we love rocket launchers and we love Uzis.
Yeah, exactly.
So many movies. I like, you never watch movies it's where true. They have Uzis today.
No,
right? It's never the guns that are used in movies today. Rocket launchers, not much either. But Uzis were everywhere back then.
They were.
I also like had toy Uzis. I thought they were so cool.
Me too. Yeah, me too. The amount of
he's
toy
got
guns.
Double. Norris has double ones. He's got them like whole in his holsters, like he has two handguns.
We could do a whole podcast just on those two guns, and the fact that he goes in and kills so many people with just those two guns and a knife.
Knife, by the way. He's got a knife in his back pocket at one point to throw and kill a man.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have it earlier.
No.
But then see it in his back to it.
Oh, my gosh.
To the camera.
Yes, exactly.
And it's so clear that he's got it. And we're like, we want you to know he has this now.
Exactly.
He didn't have it before.
It's so true. It's almost like, yes. I noticed the exact same thing. What's that on his back? Oh, it's a knife. Okay. I see. I didn't realize he had a knife. I guess he does. Oh, that explains what just happened.
He
threw the knife at that man. Who was trying to shoot him.
Yeah,
okay,
trying to kill him with
can I just talk about the fact that they are suddenly in this office building? You said it was a bank. I didn't even realize it was a bank.
Yeah, when, how?
They're just – it is Cubicle City. They're just in a cubicle office.
Cubicle City.
That honestly looks like they made it out of paper and spit. I mean, you can almost see the walls moving as they just walk through. Like, we're like
– Yeah.
What do you think? Half inch plywood? No, quarter. We don't have the budget for half inch. I mean, and these are, you know, through this, and it is the weirdest place for a showdown. I mean, it's almost like, it's like, I mean, at one point he shoots at Hunter and he literally blows up a water cooler. Like, you know, it is the strangest place. And it's, again, with everything with this movie, unexplained. There just happened to be. Oh, I guess this is where their showdown's going to be. So we're going to –
You can afford it.
You're going to kick him over Mary's desk, and then he's going to hide behind Jim's desk.
Yeah.
Now, before he gets to Patty's desk, though, he's going to trip. And, I mean, it's insane. It's just insane.
It's crazy. And you know, it's like, oh, this is the building we could get, and we could kind of like run amok in this building.
Exactly.
And we can go nuts here. And that's the way all those, like a lot of these movies, I think, are. Is like, we're going to do damage. You got to look for a building that's like, we're going to destroy this building in a week or something like that.
Right.
So do whatever you want.
Because
you got plenty of those buildings in LA where people shoot, but it's like, no, we use this a lot of times for office settings. So you have to pretty much keep it as is.
Right.
Or you can make minor adjustments. But like, when they're going to like go nuts on it like that, it's like, well, I guess we're going to like.
Yeah.
Have to either A, destroy this building, or B, they set it up like that beforehand. They like brought in people and made it look like an office building, and then because of the camera angles, it looks like an office building.
Right.
But
yeah, they only need a few things, and they just move them around from shot to shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, those people playing the gorilla, the gorillas getting off of the boat earlier in the movie, are also playing cops later in the movie.
Oh,
like, it's
for
all
sure.
Extra work and
yeah, exactly.
Different outfits or whatever.
Oh, I love it.
Well, I know we're like ragging on this movie a lot, but and we've also we liked it. Like, I do. Like, these movies are the movies that I very much gravitate toward because they're like almost soothing to me, partially because they're nostalgic, but also because it is like so, like, it's so much. It's like, I can't watch a horror movie because that's like, ugh, I don't like that type of whatever.
Yeah.
Or that intensity. But this is like, this is just like not even, it's so fake and it's so whatever.
Yeah.
That it doesn't even really bother me. And I find it easy to watch. I could watch these movies all day long. This one is not great, admittedly, but I do like it because of the reasons that we talked about before.
It has so many, but I think it's because that sense of abandon and just that sort of guerrilla, no pun intended, guerrilla style of filmmaking, even though it was on such a big budget, but it does also feel like a lot of things that were just, you know, victims of opportunity. It was like, oh, well, we've got this mall we can blow up. All right, well, let's write a mall scene. You know, the things were there and they just sort of made it fit together. And I have to admire that. Like, that's like, we're going to get it done. How are we going to get done? I don't know, but we're going to get it done. I think that's how a lot of projects, books, movies, work, projects at work get done, is because they just have to get done. And so
they got
to
get
done.
And make no mistake, I would give my left arm to be in one of these movies.
And if you were, they would probably shoot off your left arm too.
Oh yeah,
that
probably
would definitely be part of it. You know what this sort of reminded me of too is like, I think is like hit on those like grindhouse films of that era too. I think they're kind of like from the 70s. This is sort of an extension of that with just like a little bit better special effects and a little bit more of a budget.
Yep. I agree. But it's just, you're right in that it's just like still kind of this. We got to go. We got to move. We got to make it.
Right.
Yeah. And they do that a lot in this one. And it helped. Like, I mean, when you think of Chuck Norris movies, Invasion USA is one of them that you think of. And I don't say like one of them that because you.
I will think
of
now.
Made. But it is. It's like up. It's like if when you're naming, Chuck Norris movies that we all
it's
going to
be in his top 10.
About, this is one of them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that brings us. We haven't really talked about Chuck Norris that much, and I know we've been going forever. And
also,
and
he's 79.
He's not in this movie, folks. He's 79 right now as of 2019.
But isn't that crazy? He looks good for 79.
He does. No, he does. Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's older than my dad. My dad just turned 78. That's why I bring it up.
Oh, okay. Hey, happy birthday to Dave's
dad.
That's
crazy. He's been in a million things.
He has. Yeah, I mean, his IMDb is also long. Can I just say, though, this is also at the height of his quote-unquote coolness. And one of my favorite things about this movie was when he is fake arrested, if that's what it is, which is the best explanation, better than any explanation I could come up with. So thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
He is in his hotel room. We don't see him check into this hotel. We just see that he's in a hotel.
We just see he's there.
With his jeans, denim shirt, and boots on the bed, watching an old sci-fi film where UFOs are shooting. They're shooting humans, and he's giggling. He's laughing. That's the only point of levity, I think, from Chuck that we see him laugh, smile, or whatever. Is he laughing?
Yeah.
But then they come in like, crashing through windows, these cops, because apparently they have so much time on their hands. They can do this. I don't know how many people this – huge scale invasion of his hotel room. And of course, Norris does not react at all. But my favorite part is that his shirt is unbuttoned to his navel. And so this is in the evening. The next thing we see is that he is being taken by the police into the police station. And of course, there's media everywhere. And of course, yeah. police, as they would normally do, want to make sure that he gets to say something to the media.
It's crazy he got to say that much to the media.
Yeah, that he says. But here's the thing. His shirt is still unbuttoned to his navel. He's had that yeah. the whole night. He didn't have one opportunity to button up his shirt.
None.
What?
None. It's insane. His house gets destroyed. And I don't even know how he's able to live after that. Like, how does he afford this hotel? Where's his money coming from? He gets taken into custody. I forget what he says, but what he says to the camera, to the media, for everyone to hear, is like bonkers.
Yeah, no, he says, Rostov, it's time to die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what he says. Yeah, he tells him, because that causes Rostov to throw the TV, because he's watching.
And Rostov is watching the same. At one point, Rostov is also watching like an alien movie. I think it's the same one.
Is he? Oh, my gosh.
I think so. I'm wrong on this, but I feel like they were both at some point watching the same movie, but I could be very wrong on that.
Because Rostov's watching like three or four TVs at once.
He's watching three news things, but I feel like there was a moment at some point that he was also watching an alien movie, but now I'm not sure if that's actually true.
I feel like with some strategic reshoots, you and I could edit this into a good movie with a story.
That's the thing. I don't think we could, and that's what's so hard about this. Like, I'm like ragging on this, right? And we're like making fun of it. I can't make anything. If I made this movie,
I know, right?
If I made it, you'd be like, holy cow, Dave, you made this movie?
Right.
That's incredible. Right?
Good job. High fives all around.
And we've talked about this. I've talked about this with other people. I've heard it on podcasts, too, of like, Everyone going into this movie is trying to make a good movie. Like,
yeah, no,
they are
in it all the way. They are committed to this craziness.
Right? DP, second AD, director, actors, like makeup people are all like,
this is going to be.
We're trying to do good.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, this is like a cult movie now. So mission accomplished.
They did.
But I couldn't make anything close to this.
Right. No, it's true. Right? It's true. If we look at it objectively, right. Can you guys do any better? No, we couldn't.
No.
But we're still an audience, and we still, unfortunately, are human beings, and we tend to judge.
But that's not our job. This wasn't our job to make this movie. Like,
right, exactly. But that's the other thing where you think, like, what kind of miracle happens that makes an incredible film that you go, wow, that's like a Braveheart. Or, you know, or Gladiator, or I'm picking really violent films, but, you know, those movies where it's like, this is an amazing film.
Yeah, any of these good movies, like, could have easily been bad movie.
Yeah, it exactly. Right? One, you know, one different editor, one different director, one different, you know, director of photography.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, it's true. So,
right.
Please let us, Dave's right. Please note that I do love this movie. I'm so happy that you made me watch this thing. From about minute five, I was like, oh, now I know why Dave wanted to see this.
Yeah.
Perfect. It's perfect.
Mayhem. And I don't know if I ever – like I said earlier, I'm like, I'll watch if it's ever on. But I don't know if I'm ever going to seek it out on my own again. Like if someone's like, we're watching this, I'll be like,
I'll
watch this.
Yeah.
But it's never going to be like, Dave, what do you want to watch? I'll be like, let's watch Invasion USA. I'll be like, no, there's other movies to watch.
There's other movies to watch.
Definitely.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I feel like we've unpacked everything that I possibly could think of in this. So Dave, what was your favorite moment? Let's bring it back to the theme of today, which is, of course, Holiday Madness.
Yes.
Matt's Holiday Movie Madness. What part of the movie made you most feel that sense of the holidays?
I'll take this back. I'll give you something that maybe we can both relate to, although I don't know if it was there so much when you were there anymore.
Okay.
But they're in the mall scene.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of chaos and a lot of killing. But just being in the mall for Christmas does make me think of Christmas because when I was younger, we would drive to once a year. At least once a year, but definitely Christmas. Were you in Milwaukee? This is, again, very regional now. Were you in Milwaukee when the Northridge Mall was still up and active?
Yes.
Okay.
Just before, it wasn't – yeah. Yeah, like I remember its decline. Yes.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Me too. So Northridge is this big mall that was on the north side of Milwaukee, on the very north side of Milwaukee. And when I grew up a little bit north of Milwaukee, and we would drive there every year and go shopping there, like right around Christmas, like when it's chaotic. But we were like, this is our big family shopping day. And I loved it. As far as I knew, that was Milwaukee. Like going any further into Milwaukee, I just didn't know because we didn't live there. So that was like Milwaukee to me. And so seeing that mall did make me nostalgic for the Northridge Mall in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that I truly, truly loved and thought it was the greatest place. And I've recently looked up pictures of that mall when it was like in its heyday, and I miss it. And that's this movie, that moment makes me think of that part of my childhood. And I like that a lot.
Yeah.
What about you?
No, I think, honestly, I loved the putting the star on the tree. Obviously, it led to not a fun thing, but I love the idea of having the Christmas tree outside, though. I liked that a lot. Why aren't we putting the star on the tree outside? It's a big tree. Yeah. People put lights on outside, obviously.
Yes.
I was like, that is pretty Christmassy. I like that. And the little thing with the girl coming back. So, because they're fighting about who's going to get to do it, but she sneaks in there and does it. So, yeah, there are definitely some nice moments.
It's loosely a Christmas movie, I'll admit.
It is the loosest. I am calling you out on that.
Feel good. Yeah, if you're going to watch an action Christmas movie, make that like Die Hard.
Yeah.
Because that movie is genuinely like, really good. The story's really good. The acting is really good. Everything is good about it. Man. The whole thing is a tight movie.
It's probably
top to bottom. It's really great.
It's probably one of the best action films ever made. I don't know that anything will top it, honestly.
It's an incredible action movie that has inspired countless action movies since.
And it has a great story. Anyway, well, that's a whole other.
Yeah.
That's a whole
it's got. Episode. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. This is not that by any means. But if you want to see, like, I want to see a different Christmas movie that we don't normally get to see. I'll watch Invasion USA. I like old action movies.
Check
it
out.
And it's also a Cannon Brothers. It's not Cannon Brothers, but it's also a Cannon movie.
I think we should Cannon Brothers make that stick.
It
works.
Two guys, and I think so.
They're two guys, not brothers. Well, actually, it was started by two guys who were brothers or cousins, right?
Yeah, maybe they were cousins.
And they sold it to the Golan and the other dude.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be right.
So we'll say, so Cannon Brothers works.
Yeah, from 67 to 94, they were a thing for a while.
They were huge. Yeah, they were
that
huge.
Was a long time. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize that. Incredible. What else? The other thing I was going to say about it was, check out this documentary because it makes you then appreciate this movie even more.
If I could.
To anybody, I'm saying that to you, Matt, but I'm also saying it to anybody. Like, check out this movie. It's this documentary. It's really fun. And then check out these other Cannon movies. When I see a Cannon movie, the logo for it, I'm like, oh, ooh, fun, and I'm into it.
Yeah,
it's even if I shouldn't be, I'm into.
You know, it's going to be fun. Well, if you want to see Chuck Norris in his height of when he is the toughest of the Chuck Norris toughness. This is one of those films.
This is one of those. And you could say, like, if you look at his career, when he was like, I'm starring in movies, it's really about 84 to, like, I guess you could say 90, because it's like in 84, he does Missing in Action, which is big.
Oh, yeah.
He does Missing in Action 2. He does Invasion USA. He does The Delta Force. He does Firewalker. He does Missing in Action 3, and he does Delta Force 2. So you could say that Missing in Action, Delta Force stuff, those are high water marks.
Yeah, and I think I've seen all of those at some point through my life. I know I've seen all the Missing in Action films as a kid.
Yeah.
Which I should not have seen.
And then, I mean, he was in Way of the Dragon, which is a Bruce Lee movie, so that's always incredible.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like the main guy.
No, he was not Bruce Lee.
Of course. Yeah, he's definitely not Bruce Lee. Definitely not Bruce Lee. But it's a weirdo movie. I'm glad you got to watch it, because I also like just being able to talk with someone about it, because not that many people saw it that I know of and I talk with.
No, maybe this will inspire people to go check it out, because it's.
I mean, that'd be great.
Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, it's a weirdo movie, especially like if you're like you and I are the same age, so it's like it hits a certain nostalgic spot for us too.
Absolutely,
and I really. I was so grateful that you watched it. I really was so thankful. I'm like, oh, this is fun. And he's going along on this weird ride.
Of course.
And I also knew that like, no one else is probably going to pick this movie that you do this podcast with.
No.
So I was like, this will be a unique one.
But if anybody else brings it up, if anybody else brings it up, I'll be so excited when I say, sorry, we already did that one.
They'd be like, what?
What? Yeah, sorry. Dave Tooney.
Oh, my gosh. All right, I guess. Crazy.
Dave, thanks so much for doing this with me. Do you want to plug anything you got coming up?
I'll tell you what. What I'm going to plug is a different movie, and that movie is called Police Story. It's a movie starring Jackie Chan, and it came out in the early 80s, and I'm watching it right now. I'm like halfway through it, and it's all subtitled, but it's an older action movie as well.
Oh, it's one of his Chinese ones.
Yeah, and it's so far, I'm really into it. I mean, some of the stuff is, of course, a little bit dated, but like he's funny.
Jackie Chan's
and
hilarious.
The action is good. It's like him doing his thing where it's like all him, and you love seeing him do his own stunts.
You do.
So far, I'm really liking it. So if you've never seen Police Story, watch it. That's what I'm plugging is.
Apparently, we're about to start a spinoff podcast, Dave and I, of action films, which you can look forward to happening in 2020. All right, thank you so much, Dave, and we'll see you next week with another holiday movie and some madness.